Welcome to Control Chaos. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother and best buddy, Dougie. How are we doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you? I can't believe I'm your best friend.
Oh.
Yeah, it just shows how much of a loser you are.
How are we doing? Are we in good spirits?
Pretty good. I mean, well, we have to be in good spirits if we're going to talk about death.
Yeah. Tonight is going to be a very interesting episode of Controlled Chaos, as we're going to be investigating and talking about the death of Bruce Lee and his son Brandon. A lot of people call it the curse of the Lees. We're going to be digging deep and going into every facet of their careers, you know, the mystery behind both men's death, and, you know, how there's a lot of foul play that could have been involved.
There's a lot of foul play that could have been involved, but also a lot of it is just, you know, a bunch of malarkey.
It's conspiracy,
malarkey, bucket of bourgeois, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Before we get into it, we are going to just hear a word from our sponsors. Dougie, take it away.
Make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. It can be found on all major podcast platforms. They will be – I don't know if they're doing an episode tonight for NXT TakeOver. They may do a recap. I'm not sure. Eric talks to them more than I do. but listen to them every Wednesday and Friday night right after wrestling. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This Friday night, we'll be doing our Pat Patterson tribute episode. So Pat Patterson, of course, just passed away this past Wednesday. So we will be paying tribute to him. In 2 weeks on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, we already have a poll up, and we should know by Friday if it's going to be, and this will be for December 18th. It'll either be a retrospective on Starrcade 96, a retrospective on Christmas Star Wars 1982, if I can find it, a Savage Flair feud retrospective, or a retrospective on Armageddon 02. Join us Wednesday, or join us on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, Eric Klineth and I, for the NFL Hard Hits podcast, previewing week 14, reviewing week 13. And then, of course, Control Chaos next Sunday. What do you got lined up?
Control Chaos next Sunday. I will be doing an interview with my good friend, Leon Thompson, also known by his rat name, Yalt One Boy. Just released an album called The Fucking Album, and I can't wait to talk to him. He's a good friend of mine. We go way back, so it'll be nice to, now that he's diving into music, to interview him about what he's got going on.
Awesome. All right, that does it for the plugs.
All right, cool. Well, let's get into it. Bruce and Brandon Lee. This is a story that's kind of shrouded by mystery, Doug. And it's also, it's crazy because these two men have a lot more in common than the fact that they're related. I think the biggest similarity between the two of them is that both men died right before their mainstream claim to fame, at least in American culture.
Well, Bruce had done several martial arts movies.
Japanese.
Yes.
He was big in Japan. He made $20 million.
Yes, he was big in Japan, and he was going to be big in the States. They were working on stuff that was going to be well, and it eventually did get released.
And was huge.
Yeah.
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. So he was going to be a big star, just like his son Brandon. His son Brandon was doing the same thing, and The Crow was going to be Brandon's like biggest breakout. It's going to be his breakout film.
Yes.
Now, the difference between the two is that Bruce died before like a meeting. Or, like, died, like, during the... Or he went to lay down or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't die on set. Brandon died on set.
Yeah. Brandon's was, again, accidental.
Yes, and we'll get into it.
Okay. They called Bruce Lee's death death by misadventure. That's the cause of death. That's what the coroner wrote in the fucking wrote in the folder. Death by misadventure.
Yes. Well,
which could be taken so many different ways.
Yeah, it can. Well, let's get really into it and into the backstory of Bruce Lee, because as everybody knows, I mean, he's one of the greatest martial artists of all time.
Yeah.
Especially martial artist actors. He paved the ways for the Jackie Chans and Jet Lis and other people. And he was one of the biggest guys doing what he was doing. He was making a lot of money in Japan with his movies. They really wanted to bring him to the States. He did have one run in the States prior to his big run in Japan, or before, with he played Kato on The Green Hornet, the TV show, black and white show.
Yeah.
And it only ran for under 30 episodes, but it was a big deal in Japan. And he had no idea, right? He came home to Japan and saw that he was, like, the biggest star there.
Right. And this was, what, 50s, 60s, something like that?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Okay. And here's the thing. You say under 30 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, that was still considered a success. Because, like, if you think about it, going back into the 60s, Gilligan's Island only ran for, like, 3 years, right? From like 64 to 67.
Yeah.
It's still one of the, people still say it's one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. But it only ran for 3 years. Yeah. You get a show today that runs up for only 3 years, it's a flop. So back in the 60s, as long as you can pass like the 10 episodes, which would, in today's standards, be a full season.
Right.
You're considered successful.
So he does that. He comes home, and the people in Japan call Green Hornet the Kato Show, right?
Yeah.
Because that was his character. So he's a big star, and he attempts to cash in, and he doesn't only attempt, he's successful. With movies like The Big Boss, Way of the Dragon, He was grossing over $100 million per movie.
Right.
Doing very well in Japan, and they want to bring him over to L.A., you know, to America.
Right. And I think they wanted him to start doing stuff with Chuck Norris.
Yes. And Chuck Norris was a karate champion in his own right.
Right. And because it's – so it's funny, right? You got all these guys that are, like, doing the martial arts movies or whatever – you know, Chuck Norris has a martial arts background. You know, obviously Bruce Lee has a martial arts background. So that would have made for interesting, you know, interesting movies. And then, like, if Bruce Lee would have survived even longer than what he had, you know, imagine him doing movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme or Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Who are also martial arts guys.
Well, Way of the Dragon also introduced that. I think that was Chuck Norris's debut movies, I'm pretty sure.
It may have been.
It was way before Texas Walker Ranger, right?
Yeah. Walker Texas Ranger debuted in 1990. So Walker Texas Ranger debuted in 1993.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris was doing movies back in the 70s. Or 60s, 70s, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Chuck Norris was basically known as a martial arts film star before, you know, he did anything.
Right. And he introduced Chuck Norris with The Way of the Dragon. But before The Way of the Dragon comes out, a lot of stuff goes down. He's basically doing dubbing for it, right? He's doing English dubbing because it's his first English movie. And sorry for this is all taking place in Hong Kong, by the way, not Japan. I am mistaken. So I want to go on record before we move on. But The Way of the Dragon, and by the way, this turns out to be one of the most successful action movies of all time, The Way of the Dragon, when it actually comes out.
Yeah.
People called his fight scene with Norris one of the best fight scenes in movie history. So that ends up being successful, but he doesn't get to enjoy it. Because he's been having these problems with his head, right? Get into it.
Okay. So it's called the medical term. It's called cerebral edema.
Right.
I think. And basically it causes your brain to swell. And it'll go like 13%. It'll grow like 13%, you know, more than what it's supposed to. And he had an issue in May of 73. And he got it taken care of. They gave him the medicine for it. He was fine, right? You know, he made a recovery. Well, then in July of 73, now, again, this is one of the many stories that got flown out there, but, you know, what people are trying to say happened, like, what they're saying is that he was with his mistress. You know, people say he was either with his wife or mistress or one of them. They're saying mistress, though. And another filmmaker. Or a filmmaker.
Well, that's the most widely popular kind of account of what happened, right?
Right.
Well, that's not even a theory. That's like what people say happened.
People say that he was with it. Well, he was either with his mistress or with his wife. He was with one of them. So
Betty Ting P, right?
That's the mistress. Was
Ting
Pei. Was the mistress, yes.
Yes.
So she, he was with her, and he had complained of a headache. So he went and she gave him a pain pill. I can't remember the name of it because it's hard to, you know,
yeah,
spell,
but it
or not spell, but pronounce.
It's like an aspirin pill,
it
right?
It had aspirin and something else in it.
Yeah.
If he was having bleeding issues with his brain, that could have caused his brain swell.
Right. It's a strong aspirin-based drug.
Right. So he takes the aspirin, and he goes and he lays down. Well, it's time for dinner, and he didn't come down. So she goes to wake him up. He can't wake up. So then they rush him to the hospital. But it's basically, he was pronounced dead on arrival. And they basically said his brain swelled. It was an allergic reaction to the medicine. Or that's like the cause of death. That's what the coroner had said. Was that his brain swelled due to the medicine that was given to him.
Yeah.
However, according to, what's her name, Betty Ting Pei?
Yeah.
That was not the first time she had given him one of those pills.
Yeah, she said that she gave him to him on multiple occasions and he was fine. But it is basically known.
Well, you know, you say that, but also too, and this is one of the things they brought up. He's been given that, I mean, but even after, if you take so many of something,
yeah,
if you consume something too much, your body will like regurgitate it or react to it badly.
Yes.
There's a, you know, this isn't the wrestling show, but, you know, Bill Eady of Demolition.
Yeah.
You know, he developed an allergic reaction to shellfish, even though he had it so many times.
Right.
So, like, when you have something too much, your body just reacts badly to it.
Yes. And they messed up, right? Because his manager, it was his manager, right? Or was it
his manager or producer?
Yeah, it was either the manager or the producer, Raymond Chow. And they had announced his death as something else, right? That he wasn't...
That he had died at home with his wife.
With his wife and kids.
Right, that's why I was saying, like, but no, Betty was the one that...
He was actually with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was... They said, and that just caused more controversy, and that's
right.
Why people started coming up with conspiracy theories.
Right, because I mean, they wanted Bruce Lee to be known as like this all-American family man. And all-American family men are not necessarily supposed to have, you know, mistresses.
No.
A lot of them do, but they're not supposed to.
So that is what, that is the widely accepted account of what happened. He took a pill. His body didn't react good to it, and he died.
Right. And that's what was written down in the coroner's report.
However,
yeah,
there have been a long list of conspiracy theories.
One of them being is that Betty poisoned them.
That's the most probably popular one. Get into that a little bit.
Why would she poison them?
Because she was a budding actress. He was over at her house talking about the new movie that he was going to be in, Game of Death. She was reportedly to be a lead actress in there.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So a lot of people saying she was doing that to further her career. Maybe she killed him because, and maybe she didn't like that he had the wife or something too. It has been, you know, a popular opinion that she poisoned him.
Here's the thing about that. I mean, usually, I mean, yes, you know, the girlfriend's not necessarily a fan of the wife, but it's usually vice versa.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, usually in most cases. I mean, and I'm sure there's people we can call that can confirm that. But, like, you know, the thing is that she was not necessarily, she was a mistress. So technically it shouldn't have even really been like common knowledge.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Raymond Chow lied. Said he was at home with his wife.
Right, because he's protecting Bruce's image.
Even though Bruce was dead, he was, yeah. And they did, I wanted to bring this up, because they did try to blame weed at the time, because before he went to her house, he went and smoked some hash with his buddies.
Right. Well, even Chuck Norris had said that, you know, basically he took too many painkillers.
Yeah. He had cannabis in his brain, and they were trying to say that that was something, but it's been since debunked.
Well, yeah, I mean, cannabis can't really...
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Pharmaceutical pills do, though.
Yeah.
Another, I mean, so that's like a real popular one, that she did that. Another, I mean, there's been, you know, smaller ones that ninjas took them out.
Triads.
Yeah, the triad, that's a big one, too. The mob, the mafia,
yeah,
you know, people that didn't want to see him succeed. There's a bunch of theories out there. Do you believe any of them, Doug?
No. I mean, here's the thing. I'm sure there are people that didn't want to see him succeed. I mean, just like there's people out there that don't want to see anybody. There's people out there that don't want to see you and I succeed. Yes. I mean, we're related to them, but... That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to kill him.
No, it doesn't.
But, no, I think I really do think it was just an accident. I'm going to believe the report of, it was an allergic reaction to medication. But the issue, though, with that is the fact that Betty had even said, well, why would he die from that? You know, I've given him that pill so many times.
Yeah.
But now she's also putting herself, you know, out there. Because now, like, because she's trying to, you know, discredit one the actual cause of death, now she's putting suspicion on herself. Because now people are going to be like, all right, well, are you actually admitting then that you poisoned the poor bastard?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she did kind of take advantage of it. I mean, there was a lot of kind of Bruce Lee-esque movies after he died, right?
Yeah.
Where they were all capitalizing on the success. One of them was kind of a documentary, but not documentary, about him and her's relationship.
Right.
And she starred in it alongside a lookalike.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, Dan. You got to remember that even when people die, their fame, depending on how famous they are, their fame does live on.
Yes.
And there's still fucking Elvis songs that were being released 30 years after his death.
Yes.
Right? People are still talking about Marilyn Monroe, you know, when she died, or, you know, oh, so many years after she died.
That'd be a cool episode.
Fucking Tupac.
Yeah. That'd be a cool episode, too.
Yeah. So, just because somebody dies doesn't mean that their, you know, legacy goes, you know, that they're no longer going to be in the spotlight. If there is still money to be made.
Well, the thing is that the money wasn't yet made yet. This guy was a budding star.
Right.
But he was big in Hong Kong, not Japan. He was big in Hong Kong, but he was just about to make it in the mainstream pop culture U.S. right before this happened. You know, and that's what's kind of, you know, the similarities between him and his son. And maybe the Lee curse is real. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a bunch of hoopla, as you said. But maybe both of these guys had movies that were going to propel them to even bigger success. And they both died right before people got to really see those movies.
Right.
Do you think is that just a coincidence, or is there more there to that?
It's too much of a coincidence. However, I mean, I don't think anybody. I mean, and I know the guy that accidentally shot Brandon Lee, you know, Michael Massey. I mean, he's no longer with us. He passed away, but he was haunted for years.
Yes. We'll get to that soon.
Okay. I don't think he did it on purpose. He wouldn't have had a reason to do it on purpose.
No. Who
really should be blamed, and I know we're going to get into it, who really should be blamed is the idiot that loaded the fucking gun.
Yeah. And the thing with Lee is...
Which one?
Bruce. When he died, you know, Hong Kong was in shambles because he was their biggest star.
Right.
So, of course, they're coming out with these conspiracy theories. And this, it does seem, because one thing we didn't get into that I think is the most interesting part of this story is that he had his sweat glands removed. Did you read that?
Yeah.
He had his sweat glands
removed. He didn't sweat during the...
like on camera.
Yeah.
So he didn't look bad on camera.
Right.
With that, the heat can really get to you. And Hong Kong is a very hot, humid place.
Right.
You know, you mix that combined with a pill.
Right.
It makes sense.
Hong Kong, you know, very hot place. It's basically, it's the Asian Florida.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Bruce, it's very sad and it's very abrupt. And I do think there is foul play. I think most of the foul play here is how everybody handled it. And I think that's why all the conspiracy theories came up.
Yeah,
I think it's a little more black and white than we think because they didn't want to look bad, so they said he was at home with his wife.
Right.
And then that's where all the theories came from. And death by misadventure, who knows what the fuck that really means.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking when they said that.
No. Now, Bruce had a son. We know his son very well. Brandon Lee.
Well, I've never actually met him.
No, I haven't met him either.
I've met a guy named Bob Lee.
How is he?
Yeah, he's fine.
Brandon Lee is his son.
Yeah.
The son of him and Linda. He was always raised in martial arts. He was always expected to get, he was always training with his dad.
Yeah.
He never really wanted to be a martial artist actor. But he eventually fell into it. Bruce Lee died when he was 8, by the way.
Yeah.
8 years old. So then he gets into acting with a few movies. Television movie called Kung Fu the Movie. And then a movie with a guy who a lot of us know from the Rocky franchise.
Dolph Lundgren.
In Laser Mission. Now, after all that happens... Because he's not a big star yet, right?
No.
He's getting there. And everyone knows, you know, because of his dad, he's going to propel into the next level at some point. The movie that was going to take him there was The Crow. Now, The Crow is based on a comic book, and it basically tells the story of a rock musician who died. He got killed, and they murdered and raped his wife, and then he comes back from the dead and avenges her.
Right.
So this is already kind of a creepy type movie. Great movie, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, I think.
So great movie. I'm going to give this one time. I'm going to give you your due and let you talk about Sting and how much it kind of paved the way for that character.
Well, basically it was just Bischoff wanted Sting to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
Sting said, well, how do I do that? Because, you know, I've done this version of the character for so long. You know, he wasn't bleach blonde anymore. He had gone back to black hair. I mean, it was a darker hair. And he was just like, well, what do you want me to do? And Scott Hall, who had been, you know, had basically just said, well, why don't you dress up as the Crow? And Bischoff's just like, oh, that could work. So he did that. And he made it basically work. I mean, obviously they all had to sit down and watch the movie.
Yeah.
Which was actually being played on TNT an awful lot back at the time.
Yeah.
So they sat back, they watched the movie, and Sting's like, okay. So basically he became what Brandon Lee was in that movie.
Now, getting to Brandon.
Now, I don't even know, though, like, did they, the whole Crow thing, was Brandon technically the Crow or was that the stunt double?
No, Brandon was the Crow because Brandon did a lot of the stunts, too, and...
Well, the scene where he gets killed in the movie is what killed him, right?
Yes. No, that's the stunt double.
Right.
The family would not let them use that. And I do believe they asked, actually, and the family wouldn't let them. But that, yeah, the scene actually does take place still in the movie, but not.
So they filmed the scenes with him as the Crow first before they filmed the scene where he got shot?
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Well, a lot of the Hollywood process, they don't film a movie from start to finish. A lot of Hollywood blockbusters even do the ending first sometimes. It's just the way they're scheduled to shoot.
Okay, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Kinda.
A lot of movies aren't shot scene by scene like that.
All right.
They're pieced together at
the
end. It
has to do with availability, location.
Okay. Yeah. So... this set was already called kind of a haunted set anyway, right? I don't know if you read into this, but a lot of people were getting hurt, like crew guys. I heard like a carpenter electrocuted himself. And at least three or four more instances like that where their cast and crew got hurt.
Right.
So now you fast forward to Brandon. You got 3 or 4 days left of shooting. And... he shoots a scene where he's walking into a room and the character's name is Fun Boy. He fires a 44 Magnum Smith & Wesson at Lee. The gun, because it's a prop gun, right?
Yeah.
But it was a real gun, but they had blanks in it. It was supposed to be
dummy cartridges.
Yes. And they were supposed to... yeah, they were blanks. They're not supposed to have real bullets.
Yeah.
Someone fucked up and there was a bullet in there. Because.
Well, they didn't clear the chamber.
No.
See, what they did was they put the. All right. So basically. They didn't clear the chamber. They didn't clear. Because sometimes that happens, right?
Yeah.
Because even in some guns too, depending on what they are. You can, you know, shoot, but then be out of bullets in one chamber, but then switch over to the next one, and that's got more bullets in there. So they didn't clear the chamber. They put the dummy, they put the blanks in there, the dummy cartridges.
Yeah.
But they forgot to clear it beforehand, So there was still a bullet in there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Ray DeLee got shot.
Yeah.
It got lodged into his spine. It was about 12 feet away.
Well, was it the spine, or I heard it was the abdomen?
Got shot in the abdomen, but the bullet lodged in the spine.
Okay.
So we're both right. He underwent 6 hours of surgery, but it was obviously unsuccessful. He was pronounced dead at 1 p.m., 1:03 exactly. 28 years old. Was ruled an accident. You talked about Massey earlier. Was this an accident,
Doug? It wasn't his fault. He didn't load the gun.
So this was not the conspiracy theory that the guy did it on purpose is bullshit.
No, it was some jackass that forgot to check the fucking gun. See, here's the thing. Hollywood actors don't have to do this shit. That's what you have people on set for. Yeah, exactly. That's what prop masters are for. That's why, like, you know, on set, you're supposed to have a guy that, you know, tells you to do this, tells you to do that. Somebody that brings in the prop. The actors don't go get the props themselves. You're not going to see somebody go up to John Travolta and be like, hey, Travolta, can you go grab that binder right there for the scene or whatever the fuck? Or when he was in the movie The Punisher. They're not going to be like, hey, Travolta, you know, bring the car up front. No.
No.
You're going to have some guy, you're going to be like, all right, you know, Frankie or whatever the fuck. Using as an example. Frankie, go grab the gun, put the cartridges in it, and bring it here. And give it to Mr. Massey. Well, okay, boss. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't check the gun. Because, I mean, obviously.
Obviously. And the poor guy was just going to get married a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't end up happening. But is this family cursed? Because those are two kind of crazy coincidences that happened right before they had their big breaks. Is there maybe kind of a different force at play that we don't know what's going on? Or is this chalked up to a coincidence?
Bruce's death was a coincidence. Brandon's was, again, I'm not blaming Michael Massey. I'm blaming the jackass that forgot to check the...
Yeah.
The cartridge. I think it was, it was accidental to a point. Because I don't think anybody would really want these guys dead.
No, I mean, they were both pretty beloved people.
Yeah. And a lot of people liked them, too.
Yeah. And it's sad whenever you talk about death and stuff, and it's... Also, they you got diehard fans, so of course you're going to get conspiracy theories, and they're not going to be...
Yeah.
...to take what actually happened into account. Do you think that the set was probably cursed, or
if people were getting hurt,
do you blame the sets for kind of like poor management of things?
Yes, because again, should have checked the gun.
Yeah.
Okay. And if people were getting hurt on set, you probably should have been like, okay, well, let's time it. Well, poor choice of words, but let's time a death this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll come back in a week.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get we'll have somebody come out here and fix everything. And if they don't die, then we know that, you know, we could come back and finish this fucking thing.
Well, yeah, because Lee did file a complaint a couple weeks before his death with poor working conditions.
Yeah.
Because it was very cold when they were working, and a lot of his scenes were in the rain. And he was drenched in water, and he was freezing. And he's actually on record saying that they're trying to fucking kill me. But with the poor kind of production and the way the management and stuff and the way set was and
yeah
stuff like that, I don't think he meant it like that, but it is kind of unfortunate looking back.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was poor working conditions. I do think you can kind of attribute that to, I mean, first of all, it wasn't the fucking ceiling or the ceiling or the building didn't, you know, put the bullets in the gun. Yeah. But I do think that they should have, they probably should have used a toy gun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the ceiling and stuff. I think it does kind of, and the gun, there was too many fuck ups happening here.
Oh, yeah. No, like this movie is as good as the movie is.
And it is.
It was deemed to, like, the movie's cursed.
Yeah, the movie definitely is cursed, I'd say. With all the crazy shit that
like, you ever watch Pet Sematary 2?
Yes.
Well, obviously they didn't do a Pet Sematary 2 for the remake yet, but the original Pet Sematary, it was back in, like, 88, maybe, like, 88 or 90 or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so the beginning scene of the movie, the actress was, you know, doing the thing or whatever. She had a light, but there was electrical problems, right?
Yeah.
And they knew something was wrong, but they wanted to finish the scene. So the actress grabs onto the metal, which, by the way, if there's electrical problems, you don't want to be near anything metal.
Yeah,
and that's a given, I'm pretty sure.
I would think so.
Okay. So, but, you know, they had to finish the scene. So she touches the metal, which, by the way, had been exposed to the wiring, and there was water around there. So, and, you know, she gets electrocuted. Water, metal, electrical wires.
Did
she
get killed?
And, well, not in the movie. It was an actress, like.
No, but did she get killed because she touched the
metal? Yeah, she got electrocuted.
In real life, it wasn't part of the script.
No, it was it was part of the movie. The movie Pet Sematary 2 started with the actress. The movie was about an actress that got killed on set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. An actress that got killed on set or whatever, right? But, like, that's just, like, but my point is that if something is cursed like that, you probably want to, you know, say, all right, well, you know, we're going to go home until somebody fixes this shit. But if somebody dies while trying to fix this shit, we ain't coming back.
Yeah.
We'll take the L on that one.
And in closing here, I think we did dig pretty deep, and I don't know if there's much more to touch on. But in closing, you have two guys, probably legendary actors. I mean, I know Brandon only did a couple things, but still. Crow is enough to call him a legend.
Yeah.
A father and son who were both very dedicated to their craft. Both very hard workers. And both, you know, unfortunately died in mysterious circumstances. Even though both deaths also could be seen very black and white. You could chalk one down to a pill and the other one down to a fuck up on set. But you have these people that have theories about each and every one of them. And all these things surrounding it that you don't know what's real.
Well, let's talk about Michael Massey real quick.
Yes.
The guy that unfortunately pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
When he died, which I don't remember what year he died, but I think it was just a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
All right, so 2016, right?
Yes.
When he passed away, which he passed away from cancer, I believe it was, he had even said up to when he passed that he was still haunted. that he had been haunted by this for, you know, 20 something years.
Yeah, I mean, no one really wants to be known.
No
for
one
that.
Wants to be known for, you know, oh yeah, you know, by the way, I accidentally shot this guy. Well, people are saying I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it didn't ruin his career because he still did other stuff.
Exactly. I mean, it sucks. I don't think he should really get blamed because that's just an unfortunate situation. Unfortunately, he was the one that pulled the trigger. But, you know... sometimes that's just, I mean, it's an accident, you know?
Well, it was accidental. Mainly based on, I mean, again, somebody in the crew fucked up.
Yeah.
Now, can you go and say, oh, yeah, well, the, you know, that person, he fucked up on purpose. He wanted Brandon dead. No, people are just stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? And... unfortunately, the person that did this is a real dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he forgot to do something that is probably very routine. It's very simple. I mean, how fucking hard is it to take a bullet out of a gun? Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is just shoot the damn thing. I mean, not near anybody, obviously.
Yeah, but still.
What
are they saying? It was a bullet, or was it like a part of a bullet that was stuck in there that they didn't deal with?
It was part. I think it was part of the bullet.
Well, because they didn't.
That came out with the powder.
So they may have thought they cleared the chamber, not knowing that that was still in there.
Well, yeah, that's what happened. But they still messed up though.
Well, yeah.
Because they didn't properly clean it.
They didn't properly clean it. I mean, you can always say, like, hey, you know, Massey, you know, take a test shot. You know, shoot the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not a good idea if that building was already, you know, fucked up to begin with. You don't want to, you know, do any more damage to the house.
Yeah.
So it could have been like, you know, Massey, go outside and shoot the director's tires or something. Or whatever the fuck. Just let's make sure this fucking thing is clear.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it wasn't as conspiracy. It's not, you know, oh my God, you know, Michael Massey wanted Brandon Lee dead. It's a crew member that thought he had the gun cleared, but he didn't check it. And that was it.
So in closing, what are your final thoughts on Bruce and Brandon Lee?
Two guys whose careers ended, you know, probably way before they began.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Lee could have been a big star. I mean, the Crow movie, which actually, again, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I don't think I saw the whole thing. But, you know, one of the actors in it, Ernie Hudson, I happen to like.
And it grossed $50 million.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of people want to see what happened.
Yeah. It was a sleeper hit. It grossed a lot of money.
Right.
Obviously, we talked about what happened with Sting. It fucking rejuvenated a whole business.
Exactly. And here's the thing. This isn't the first time that there was, like, an accidental death in a movie. All right? The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
All right? Vic Morrow, you know, died during a scene. He accidentally got hit by... I think it was he got hit by a helicopter or something. I don't know the whole, but you know, accidents happen.
And that's actually kind of ironic because when Brandon was young, he used to watch old Twilight Zone episodes, write them down and perform them in front of his class.
Yeah.
A little bar. But in closing, I will say the tragedies that have struck Bruce and Brandon Lee is very unfortunate and obviously not fair. And, you know, it sucks the way it went down, and there's a lot of mystery there. There's a lot probably that no one will ever know,
right,
about both occasions. But we hope that, you know, you, the listener, we cleared things up for you a bit today and, you know, kind of got to the meat and potatoes of the subject. And
Here's the thing. We can speculate all we want. Just like, you know, these fucking shows like The Autopsy of the Last Hours Of, which is a show on the Reels channel.
Yeah.
Or like all these other shows, like they could speculate, they could say all this shit. We don't know.
No, we don't.
Okay. We have our theories. My theory is that like with Bruce, it was unfortunate allergic reaction to medicine. And with Brandon, it was a crew member fucked up.
Yeah.
Of accidental.
But can you blame that on the production company for pushing people too hard and too long a days and too many hours?
100%. They were working 80-hour work weeks. 100-hour work weeks.
Yes. And Bruce had technically...
For Brandon, by the way.
Yes.
That was for the crew.
Right. And also, too, Bruce... Who had just come off, I mean, he almost died in May of 73
yeah.
from that whole thing. He should have been taking it easy,
yeah.
especially if he knew he was having the issues with the brain.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
No, he was still working
yeah.
really hard. So, I mean, there's a lot that can be blamed. There's got a lot to be looked at. I mean, I know both of these cases are pretty much closed, but, I mean, to me, they could both be easily opened. I think there's still... enough mystery and enough doubt at the final verdicts to where
well,
if an investigator
Betty, that Betty Ping or Ting Ping or
Ting Pei
or you know,
all right.
Anyway, well, she wrote an autobiography, didn't she? Or she was going to?
I think she was going to. I don't know if she ever did. All
right. If she did and anybody read it, I mean, that would almost be reason to reopen a case. Because that's actually what happened, again, another wrestling thing. Superfly Jimmy Snuka, when he wrote his autobiography, he talked about when he killed Nancy Argentina.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why not? I mean, you've already, like, they swept the case under the rug. Vince McMahon paid off the police. So, yeah, of course I'm going to bring it up. Well, they brought it up. The asshole that swept the case under the rug retired from the police force, so it's somebody new now.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to reopen everything. So, yeah, if she opened or if she wrote an autobiography, you're more than likely going to find something in there that could reopen the case. Which
yeah.
it might be one of the reasons why if she didn't write it, that might be a reason why she didn't.
Maybe. All right. This was Control Chaos, Episode 2, where we touched on the death of Bruce and Brandon Lee. Thank you all for joining us. Doug, thanks again for being here.
No problem. You're going to pay my trans, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the whole surgery, maybe half.
That's not what I mean.
But we will see you guys next week for the Leon interview. And thank you all for joining us. Have a great night.
Later.
Bye.
Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack Mr. Magic Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking with the bamboo, sipping on.